Welcome to the Actually Not Really podcast, where we'll be discussing pop culture, current events, politics, and some other topics we think you'll find interesting. I'm your host, Hood, and in a world full of 7 billion perspectives, are we all so different? Well, actually, not really, really.
Yo, what's the deal, party people? Actually Not Really podcast, we back at it again. It is January 28th, 2024. And we about to hit y'all with another banger. Yeah, man, today's podcast, we're going to talk about, this is a book review. This is a book review podcast, and the book that I listen to it on Audible. You can find it anywhere. You get your audiobooks or bookstores or directly from the author. The author's name is Gabrielle Blair, and the name of the book is Ejaculate Responsibly. Ejaculate Responsibly by Gabrielle Blair. So that's what we're going to get into today, man. That's what we're going to talk about. But before we jump into that, I just had a little quick little something I wanted to talk to y'all about and just to get y'all's opinion on the matter. Because my son brought it to my attention earlier today, and he needs a recorder for school. It's about 45 dirhams, which is about roughly, I don't know, maybe 12 to 15 US dollars. But my question is, why? Why are we still doing recorders? Like, who is running the recorder racket that these things are still relevant? There is no possible explanation that anyone can give me for why kids are still learning to do music on a recorder. I have never, in my 37 years of existence, ever heard someone make a fire track using a recorder in any part of its composition. Now, I may be wrong, and if anybody knows a song where a recorder was featured, let me know. Because this is outrageous. I remember having a recorder, and that shit was annoying to me, and I was playing it. So I could just imagine how annoyed my raise was. So just think, I have to pay to bring this recorder into my home for this little dude to be blowing into a pointless instrument. Is crazy to me. But yeah, man, the recorder racket has to be investigated. This has to be some type of crime, because recorders should have been phased out of the American curriculum. Like, this is asinine. But without further ado, let's get into the topic at hand today. And the topic at hand today is Ejaculating Responsibly. The book is called Ejaculate Responsibly by Gabrielle Blair. And it is one of basically a conversation based around men's role in the pregnancies of women, and particularly unwanted pregnancies, and I guess the abortion topic that goes on in America a lot. So I think that was her point of view when she was making this this book, was to give an alternative perspective on the abortion topic and why it is men's responsibility for women to not get pregnant. Now, this goes hand in hand with my anti-BBM stance. So this is some good literature for the anti-BBM library, if you will. So anti-BBM meaning anti-boning before marriage. That is the movement. Please subscribe, sign up, and become a member of the anti-boning before marriage movement, anti-BBM. So with that being said, I read the book. I took some notes. Well, I listened to the book. I took some notes, and I'm just going to go over those notes. Gabrielle Blair made a very convincing argument as to why men should be equally at fault for unwanted pregnancies, or up to 100% at fault for unwanted pregnancies. So, yeah. And me, as an anti-BBMer, I would say I agree that men are 100% responsible for unwanted pregnancies, because I think it's my position that men should be the leaders in the community, so therefore we have to take on all responsibility for everything and all things. So that's just my take on it. So let's get into it. She Gabrielle Blair, the author of Ejaculate Responsibly, states that irresponsible ejaculation is the number one cause of unwanted pregnancies. That's her stance. So it's the number one cause. In that statement, I can't say that she puts it 100% on the men, but you listen to the book and you see for yourself what she says about it. And now I've taken notes throughout this when I was listening to the book, so I'm just going to go through my notes as I read them and just expound upon them a bit each note, and I'll tell you where I agree or where I disagree. Now, I think this woman, Gabrielle Blair, is a Christian, and I'm a Muslim, and Christians and Muslims should have the same anti-BBM stance, because of our scripture says that we shouldn't be having sex before marriage. We should be by default anti-BBM. So we should have that stance. But as I listen to her book, I don't think she has that stance. I may be wrong, but she doesn't necessarily advocate for marriage before sex as adamantly as I do. She may have that stance because she is a married woman, and from what I've gathered, I think she's a Christian as well. But you would have to listen and see for yourself if she is a Christian and has that stance. But that's what the first note that I have is that irresponsible ejaculation is the number one cause of unwanted pregnancies. And I would agree with that statement, because men need to be able to control their skeet. Like, stop letting off and everything just because it's fire. The box is fire, so you're just letting it fly. That's crazy. She goes on to say that birth control, the pill in particular, is a modern miracle. Gabrielle Blair says... No, I should have wrote a better note, because I don't know what that word is. I'm sorry. But the pill, is it a miracle beyond its ability to initiate the chemical response in a woman's body? I don't know. I don't think the pill is a modern miracle. I think... Yeah, modern miracle is way too heavy of a accolade to give the pill. It is a discovery, a breakthrough maybe, in how to get the female anatomy to respond to certain chemical input so that it's less likely for them to get pregnant, if that's your goal, you know. But in my opinion, the pill lower the moral standard around sex, because what people now think is that if a woman is on birth control, i.e. the pill, that they can just go in there raw dizzy and just let it fly because she's on the pill, so why not? And it's just reducing the act of sexual intimacy to, is a person going to get pregnant or not, when there's so much more that goes into this act of sex that we're not taking as serious as we should, as is my stance and why I'm anti-BBM. So that's how I feel about it. And coupled along with the loss of religious values and secularization of society, BBMing, or boning before marriage, has been running rampant, and the advent of the pill or the discovery of this quote-unquote modern miracle signaled the decline in American society, because it was no longer about keeping and protecting one's honor, chastity, lineage, and you know dignity. It just became like, oh, we should be sexually free to do whatever we want now because we're a modern society, or whatever the case may be. And I don't know why that would ever be the case. Like, why would a woman being on birth control now be like, now we can be sexually free? If that's what you was about, if that's what you thought, then why would the pill be making you like, this is your moment? I just don't get it. And I just think, because of the, you know, people are becoming less religious, because religion has gotten such a bad rap in the 20th to 21st century, that people just stopped caring about the things that religion teaches us that help to maintain decency in society. So, and I go on to say in my notes that the timeline of anti-BBM begins June 23rd, 1960, when Enovid was approved by the FDA for use as an oral contraceptive. So the anti-BBM calendar starts June 23rd, 1960. I think that was the pivotal point in America where we stopped really putting such an emphasis on being married before we started engaging in sexual activity. Now, I'm not saying that people weren't BBMing before 1960, before June 23rd, 1960. No, but I think that is a significant enough date with something that the society, American society, deemed was the liberation of sexual activity. And that's why I'm going to start the anti-BBM timeline on June 23rd, 1960. And I think it goes to say that anti-BBM is anti-female birth control, for the exclusive reason of only preventing pregnancy. That's why anti-BBM is anti-female birth control. Like, if you're only taking birth control only to prevent unwanted pregnancies and you're not married, then yeah, we're anti female birth control. But anti-BBM is pro-condom and pro-vasectomy, because what we're doing is we're putting the onus back on men. So if men want to be BBMing out here, which I highly disapprove, yes, but which I highly do not suggest. I do not suggest that they do. But if you're going to, then all the onus, all the responsibility is on you, not the woman, to be on female birth control. And I mean, female birth control is like very detrimental to a woman's health, I think. And it's so like crazy that they use so many different type of hormones for a woman to just not do something that is natural, when if men took the responsibility to themselves and just used the condom or got a vasectomy, it's literally not changing our bodies at all. We're just putting on, you know, a Ziploc around the Johnson, around your meats, and then it catches all of the ejaculation. So yeah, ejaculate responsibly, people. So we're pro condom, pro vasectomy, and the vasectomy procedure, from what I've learned from listening to this book, is pretty fast. I think it's a 20-minute procedure, something like that, 1 hour maybe maximum, but the recovery time is like 7 days. Some people even recover within a day, as little as a day, but, and it can be reversed and stuff like that. And you can like put your sperm in a sperm bank if you wanted to have children later, but it pretty much guarantees that you won't be getting any women pregnant that you don't want to get pregnant. So yeah, we are anti female birth control, but we are pro condom and pro vasectomy, anti BBMs. That's our stance. And another stat that she had in her book that really stood out to me was that female sterilization is the number one form of birth control, according to the United Nations. That, to me, is mind-blowing. That sterilization of our women is the number one way to prevent them from getting pregnant. That is crazy, because what method are they using to sterilize women, first of all? Second of all, why are women going to that length to not get pregnant just so we can bone them raw, dog? That, that whatever game that niggas was putting down back in the day to convince women that sterilization was the way to go for them to not get pregnant was some cold ass game. And I don't think that was the case. I think it was just men forcing women to get sterilized, or just some type of cultural pressure for women to get sterilized for some reason, or some type of covert operation of women getting sterilized by, like, unbeknownst to them, like, you know, what happened in some places around the world, Israel. So, that's kind of wild to me. And on Yellowstone, actually, like, I was watching Yellowstone, and one of the scenes was, if you haven't watched Yellowstone, I don't want to spoil it, because it's kind of like a major, major plot line in the series. And Yellowstone is a very good series. Yeah. And shout out to the old school white man on his horse, standing up for his country. I fools with it. But yeah, so that's like a very poignant part in like a plot line in that series. But basically what happens is a Native American women to get abortions had to agree to being sterilized. So they were given hysterectomies in exchange for abortions. That is absolutely ridiculous to me. Like, that has to be some type of a crime. Like, doesn't it? Like, how can you just tell someone that, oh, you want to be sterilized, or you want to have an abortion? Well, you can't have kids anymore. Like, yeah, that's kind of unreal. Okay, and then moving along, Gabriel Blair says that we need a shift in conversation from women's bodies to men's bodies when it comes to the unwanted pregnancy conversation. And I would agree with her on that point. Come on, guys, man. Come on, guys. We got to step up. We got to hold it down, and we got to start really taking back control of, you know, of our communities and our destinies. Because if we're not going to do it, then your baby mom is. You know, that's crazy. Like, when you think about it, think about that. Like, your baby's mom is in control of the destiny of our society. But anyway, I digress. So she says that one of her points is that in the shift of this conversation going from women's bodies to men's bodies, Gabrielle Blair states that women cannot control their eggs, like when they ovulate or whatever the case may be. So women cannot control their eggs. However, men can supposedly control their ejaculations. Therefore, all unwanted pregnancy are caused by men. So therefore, we need to focus on men learning how to control where they skeet. And the best way to do that, guys, is to be anti-BBM. Because if you're married, you're probably not too concerned about your wife getting pregnant or not, unless you two decided that you don't want children right now, and then you take the preventive measures for that to happen. But yeah, so the conversation needs to be shifted from women, the responsibility being on women having unwanted pregnancies, to men, and I would have to agree with that. Gabrielle Blair goes on to say in the book that women should make men wear a condom. No, actually, she's asking the question, should women make men wear a condom? And then she says, basically, like, asking women to be responsible for men to wear a condom is asking women to be responsible for both themselves and the man, which is understandably unfair. Like, why does a woman need to be responsible for what a man should be doing? Like, if you don't want to get that woman pregnant, take all the steps necessary not to make that woman pregnant, and just be anti-BBM, bro. Like, focus on yourself, get your shit together, you know, build yourself all the way up until the point that you can have a wife, a good wife, find a good one. There's good women out there that would love to be your wife once you got your shit together. And she says also, our current society doesn't expect men to be responsible for pregnancies at all. I mean, you guys live in a society. Do you agree or disagree? Is that true or not? For the most part, not really. But, I mean, you guys be the judge. And from in my notes, I've written down that I can see that the author's position is mainly one as a different perspective on the abortion topic. So I think that, like I said from the beginning, I think that was her angle. Like, she's just saying how we can approach this abortion topic. And it's basically, if men ejaculate responsibly, there wouldn't be unwanted pregnancies in the first place. Therefore, the abortion topic wouldn't even be necessary. So I think that is the whole premise of this book, which is not necessarily my angle, because I'm not even talking about abortions in anti-BBM, because even though we come to the same kind of conclusion, which is abortion conversations wouldn't be necessary if people are not having unwanted pregnancies, but our method to get there is kind of different. Whereas she's saying men should ejaculate responsibly, anti-BBM encompasses ejaculating responsibly in the context that you would be married to the woman that you're having sexual intimacy with in the first place. So, and then she goes on to say in another note that I've written, that the number one cause of death for pregnant women is murder, and it is usually by the man that impregnated her. That is very sad, and may Allah have mercy on all of the women that are pregnant and all of the women that lost their lives during pregnancy, especially due to the hands of the child's father. Because what that kind of signifies is that men wanted to do the deed, but they didn't want the responsibility that came with it. And they took the most cowardly way out of that situation, which was to not only kill the baby, but you kill the mother who's already alive and in the world. So, yeah, that's unacceptable, guys. Like, come on, what are we doing here? Like, we have so little emotional awareness. And going back to emotional awareness from a previous episode, we have so little emotional awareness that we can't control our emotions to not murder the woman that we laid down with and got pregnant. Come on, bro. And okay, going along, another note was that Gabrielle Blair says that the United States of America is dead last amongst industrialized countries in women's mortality rates when giving birth, and black women are disproportionately affected by this. That is an alarming statistic. alarming statistic when you think about the amount of money spent in healthcare in the United States, and then to realize that we're still dead last in women's mortality rates when giving birth. That is unacceptable, guys. That's unacceptable. And that's really because I know women are advocating for themselves as far as, like, they need better healthcare in these hospitals. They need better attention. They need a lot of things to be better. But what about the fathers? What about us? What about the men? What about the ones that supposed to be the protectors of these women? How come we're not advocating on their behalf as well? How come we're not making sure that they got all the care that they need, that the doctors are listening to what they're telling them, and that we're, you know, fighting to make sure that our women get the best health care? And part of that is because we don't have that real, you know, emotional, spiritual connection to these women that we are impregnating. That's why anti-BBM is so important. Like, if you're married to this woman, this is your wife, now you're going to be way more concerned. Like, you are literally united by God with this woman. So you're definitely going to be super concerned about her well-being and making sure that she gets all the care that she needs to the best of your ability. And when it's just a woman that you slept with and she happened to get pregnant, it's like, oh well, you're damn near resenting it, right? So you don't care, the system doesn't care, she's fighting for her life, and a lot of these women are losing their lives, and that's just so sad. And our women, our black women, are disproportionately affected by that. And I don't know if it's correlated or not, but black women are less likely to be married as well. So does that have something to do with it? I don't know. You tell me. And then she was going on to talk about abortions, and I wrote in my notes, so abortion topic came up, and in my notes I wrote, I think white women pay for their own abortions, whereas, as far as I know, abortions in the black community are like an industry. Damn near. And why do I say that? Because I've heard stories about women claiming to be pregnant, whether they were or not. But I've heard stories about women who have claimed to be pregnant just to get the abortion money from the man that they slept with, even though they weren't pregnant. But because the man doesn't want to have a baby so bad by this woman, he'll give her the money anyway just to let himself off the hook. And that's very sad, man. I don't know. Like, it seems like, and I don't like to use this statement. I feel like it seems like to me that happens a lot in the black community. I don't know about the white community to that in-depth perspective. Maybe, you know, some listeners out there can let me know what's going on in the white community. Do white women run that same game? Because I know I have like people that have told me it happened to them, that this thing happened where a woman claimed that she was pregnant. The man didn't bother to confirm, but he just gave her the money for the abortion, because it was like, okay, even if she ain't, I'm giving her this money, because if she is, I don't want this bristle having my baby. And it's just simple as that. So I don't know, is it an industry in the black community? Damn near to me. And and then the next note that I have was about sex education. And she, if my notes serve me correct, I may be wrong, but she was advocating for sex education from kindergarten to 12th grade. And me, I said no. Hell no. That's, kindergarten's way too early. Okay. We started learning in Rosenstein in sixth grade about sex education, and I think that was still too early. Really. When what we should be teaching or advocating is abstinence. Sex is for married adults, married people. Now, learning the anatomy of the body is one thing, but talking about sex and having safe sex and this type of stuff, I think you're actually promoting fornication. And that's me. And you can start to learn about the human anatomy once you get to high school. I think that's appropriate for high school. Yeah, I think that's an appropriate high school subject. Sex education is an appropriate high school subject, but it seems to me that she was advocating for Gabrielle Blair, the author of Ejaculate Responsibly, from the grades of kindergarten up until that child graduates. 12 years of sex indoctrination. That ain't even education no more. That's indoctrination. And one of her supports or evidence for this was that the Netherlands has a teen pregnancy rate 4 times lower than the United States. And she thinks that this is because of their sex education curriculum that is given in each grade. Now, that may or may not be true. But my thing is, why are we comparing teen pregnancies? Shouldn't we be trying to eliminate teen pregnancy and looking how to eliminate teen pregnancy? Now, what would be the rebuttal for that? I can imagine that someone would say, oh, but they're going to do it anyway. I mean, maybe, but if you're talking about 4 times lower, let's say 100,000 teens get pregnant in the United States each year. I'm making these numbers up. I'm totally pulling them out of thin air, but just to give an example, 100,000, because that seems like that's a big number. It might be more, it might be less, I don't know, but it seems like a big enough number to have a relevant example. 100,000, right? And they say, oh, there's this 4 times lower. So what's that, 25,000 in Netherlands? But what if our curriculum is based on promoting abstinence and the honor and dignity of marriage and waiting to do that act once one is responsible and capable to take care of a family for both a woman and a man, like from each of their own specific perspectives. And let's say, okay, teen pregnancy is still happening. Oh, they're still going to do it. But now the United States is having 10,000 teen pregnancies, and Netherlands is only having 2,500 or whatever the case may be. Isn't that a lot better than 100,000? You know, that's a 10x less. So that's me. Well, can it work? Will it work? I don't know, but I think we should try, because just thinking about teens, like, having unprotected sex and then going about having children, and we're just talking about, oh, we should teach them how to wear condoms so that they can do it responsibly, is crazy, because these teens really don't know shit for real. Their whole life is ahead of them. Now, on the other hand, I would say if teens are ready to get married at 18, 19, 20, 21, young adults, then I would actually support that, because at least they're willing to be committed to this other person, and honor, dignity, lineage, and everything else is protected, and they can have support from the community. Whereas these teens nowadays, why is teen pregnancy a reality show? Is because it's like, it's controversial, it's taboo, it's something that's not really supposed to happen, but we're somehow trying to act like it's okay when it shouldn't be okay, and we shouldn't act like it's okay. And yeah, and so that's my take on it. And then for my final note, I put, we should teach the virtues of sex within marriage with that sex education and make sex a topic of exploration, but only for the initiated. Like, sex is only for the initiated, but like, that's why I say, like, once they get older, like high school or whatever the case may be, like, teach them how to be good sexual partners for sure. Like, how to pleasure their partner, where the anatomy on the body is. Okay, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. Teach them, like, for instance, men how to control their orgasms so that they can, you know, semen retention, and women to use Kegels so that they might even, you know, be able to orgasm better one day when they do have a husband. Like, I think that's totally fine. Like, let's explore sex. Let's not, like, make sex this thing where it's, like, boring and you can't have fun and it's not good for anyone. No, like, get nasty. Like, I'm not saying don't get nasty. Be nasty. Like, I'm with all the freak shit. Don't get me wrong. But it should be with your wife or your husband, not everybody, because the relationships, the fractured relationships and personalities, and, like, everyone is saying, not everyone is saying, but a lot of times we'll see this message about we got to heal from trauma and this and that. Like, why everybody got to heal? What's all of this healing that people have to do, and why is that? And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, the healing that people are talking about is from past relationships that didn't work out, that they got intimate with that person, they thought it was something, then it turned out to be nothing. Whereas if we're anti-BBM, we date, we court, but we do it with a purpose to get married. Like, we are trying to see if this person is compatible to be with for the rest of my life, not to see if she's going to let me hit, if she throws good neck. You understand what I'm saying? You see the difference there? Like, we still date, but we don't take it further than when it has to go, because we're saying, okay, I like her, she likes me, she's pretty, she's smart, she comes from a good family. She's a spiritual person or religious person. Okay, let me now ask her some real questions about how she feels about if we were to get married. Because you knew, and she knew, that once y'all click, that it was going to go to this point of asking real questions. So therefore, it's not out of left field, it's not moving too fast, it's not any of those things, because we're not going to date forever. We're not going to date for 3, 4, 5 years. We're not going to be girlfriend and boyfriend and just sleeping together and then be like, oh, well, this isn't working out, and see you later. Like, what is that? That's bullshit. You done wasted 5, 6, 7 years of your life, your best years of your life, when you could have been building that with someone that you love and truly care about. And not saying that people don't get divorced. Yeah, people get divorced, but at least you know that you went about it the right way and you tried your best and you had a union that was sanctioned by Allah, by God Almighty, by your Creator. Something that's going to be beneficial for you, beneficial for your loved one, and beneficial for your children, and brings honor and dignity to your family, and also upholds the values, the shared values in a community, if those are the shared values in a community. If those aren't our shared values, what are our shared values? If we're not promoting that we should be chaste, that we should be chaste, and that we should, you know, treat this sexual intimacy as something that is sacred, what are our shared values? Black nation, what community are we? Are we the black nation? Are we the black community? What are our shared values when it comes to this topic? Should we be anti-BBM, or is it okay to BBM and everybody just make up rules as they go? I don't know, man. Y'all let me know. But that was all the notes I had for Ejaculate Responsibly by Gabrielle Blair. It's a good book, and I appreciate her for putting that information out there. I think it really pushes the anti-BBM conversation forward. And I will be putting her book on the Actually Not Really Instagram page, ANR Podcast, Actually Not Really Podcast on IG. Facebook. So go there to check out her book, and I will be shouting her out on the IG page, so that if she wants to listen to the podcast and have her own questions, comments, concerns, rebuttals, or corrections that I've made on mistakes that I've made about her point of view, then she can definitely do that, and she can feel free to reach out, Miss Gabrielle Blair, and we can have a conversation if you want it. This is an open invitation to the Actually Not Really podcast. So if you are willing to do that, had time, then We would love to have you on. And I'd love to hear you guys' feedback about the conversation of ejaculating responsibly and men being responsible for all unwanted pregnancies. Step your game up, fellas. That's basically what they're saying. It's you. You the problem. Stop busting nuts everywhere. You don't want no unwanted pregnancies. What are you talking about? Pro-life, pro-choice. For what? For what? Stop busting nuts in these women if you ain't trying to get her pregnant. If she ain't your wife. If that ain't what you're trying to do. Otherwise, be ready for the outcome and be ready for what comes after it. Life has consequences. Choices have consequences. So, with that being said, actually not really podcast. I'm your boy Hoos. Love to hear back from y'all. The book review today was Ejaculate Responsibly by Gabrielle Blair. And until next time, are we all so different? Well, actually, not really.